Hey, Jacob Swell, I want to start by wishing you a happy 4th of July. This is the weekend where we remember our freedoms as a people. But there is an even more deep and profound freedom we have. That is freedom in Christ. And that is what the book of Galatians is all about. And that's what we're studying right now here at Jacob Swell. Hey, Jacob Swell, happy 4th of July. This is a weekend where we celebrate the freedoms that we have as Americans, this incredible idea that all people are created equal. We celebrate the document called the Declaration of Independence, which says that we believe that God has given inalienable rights to include people and to promise freedom. Now, as a nation, we are forever trying to live up to those promises, to extend those promises to everyone, men and women, people of all races, because freedom is just a great idea. It's at the heart of God, and we celebrate that. So I just want to take a minute this 4th of July weekend to just thank some people who make our freedoms possible. I want to just take some time to celebrate and thank first responders and police officers. Thank you for the work you're doing. When you serve and protect, you are doing God's work. I want to thank those who are in political office, those who are leaders of government. Really easy to criticize, and you guys take a lot of heat and have to deal with complexities that very few people understand. We want to thank you. I want to thank also those who serve and have served in our military, a military that is based on bringing peace and security for not only our nation, but around the world. Thank you for your service. We do this, all of this, because we love our freedoms. Now, the thing is that although we love our freedoms as Americans, there is an even deeper freedom that we have. It's our freedom in Christ. And that is exactly what the book of Galatians is all about. Now, last week, Jenna introduced us to this amazing book, and we discovered that there are actually two big reasons why the Apostle Paul wrote this book. The first is just to give some spiritual encouragement to people who he knew, and actually a lot of people who he had not known, or he didn't know when he wrote the book. And I'll say more about that in a minute. The second reason is Paul wrote the book of Galatians because the freedom that the people in that region had was in danger of being lost. It was being in danger of being lost because people wanted to add something to the gospel. They wanted to not just have Jesus, they wanted to have Jesus and something. Now, in this specific case, the danger was adding Jewish religion or Jewish practice to Jesus. Now, here's one of the things we need to discover for this book to impact us, is that anytime we add anything to Jesus, anytime we add some other issue, some other agenda, some other idea to Jesus, we are not just cheapening the gospel. We are not just robbing it of some of its power. We are actually making the gospel a curse. We are actually enslaving ourselves to something that may look like the gospel, may seem like the gospel, but the truth is it's not the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ is very simply this, that Jesus really lived, he really died, he really rose from the dead, he really is the Son of God, and that when we put our faith and trust in him, we have eternal life. He starts depositing the Holy Spirit in us. We start being changed, not as a requirement to get forgiveness, but as a result of the forgiveness and the new relationship that we have in Jesus Christ. So anytime you add anything to that, you undermine it, you cheapen it, you destroy it, and you set yourself up for some kind of religious or ideological slavery. That's true if you add works to your salvation, or you add the Jewish religion to your salvation, or you include any kind of like nationalism or like some political ideology or some kind of social change ideology. When you make that thing plus Jesus your gospel, you have fallen into the danger that Galatians is talking about, that we have a false gospel. Now, in the passage we're looking at today, we're discovering who the Apostle Paul is. Now, he takes some time in the book of Galatians to actually explain to the people who are receiving this book who he is. Now, why does he do this? Well, one is because the Apostle Paul is writing not to a specific person. So Galatians is not a personal letter. He's also not writing to a church like the book of Ephesus is written to a church. Instead, he is writing to a region. We should think of the book of Galatians being written to a very larger and broader argument. So some of these are people who he knew. Some of these are churches that he'd visited. But many of them are churches that have been started by people who he reached, and now new churches are started, and churches that are started by other people. In this region of Galatia, Christianity has just exploded, and it's a beautiful, powerful thing. But what has happened now is that a lot of the people didn't know Paul firsthand, and though they started questioning, who is this Paul, and why does he have authority to share this gospel? Now, what is worse is that there were some people who did not like Paul's gospel. And this specific group of people were called the Judaizers. They were people who believed that what Jesus was really a supplement to the Jewish faith. And what Jesus was coming to do is revitalize the Jewish faith. And so if these Gentiles wanted to be included, they had to be first Jewish before they could become Christian, which means they had to do things like embrace kosher law, they had to separate from their family, and they had to be open to every part of the Jewish ritual, including circumcision. And so what Paul came and said, no, that's adding something to the true gospel, simple faith in the work and the life and the person of Jesus Christ that brings us a relationship. So these Judaizers were following Paul around, and they were persecuting him, they were persecuting his followers, they were saying false things against him. They were quoting stuff from the Old Testament. They were really worked up. They would start riots whenever Paul was in town. They would slander him and say things behind his back, and they would remind people of Paul's past. Because here's the thing you need to understand about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was on a journey, and the journey was a journey of transformation from whom he used to be to who he was becoming. And who he used to be, the Apostle Paul, was a lot like these Judaizers. In his early days, the Apostle Paul was actually called Saul. That was his original name. And the transformation from Saul to Paul was stunning. So let me introduce you to Saul, who the Apostle Paul was. Well, he was a Pharisee, a religious leader in the Jewish religion. And he was absolutely certain he was right, that Judaism was the right way, it was the only way, and he was so convinced of this that he dedicated his entire life to it. So when he started hearing these Christians come on the scene, and it sounded like they were changing or challenging or bringing some other message, he became enraged, he became inflamed with it. He became a person who actually persecuted Christians, who was part of a conspiracy to wipe them out. He was even willing to put people to death. The idea for the Apostle Paul that somehow God's plan was to include the Gentiles as part of his people, he would have said that was horrible. He would have ripped his garments, put dust on his head. He would have said, no way is God that kind of inclusive God. See, he would have lived by this principle like this. He would have said, listen, this is how I feel about Gentiles. I don't want anything to do with them. I don't want to talk to them. I don't want to see them. I just wish they would go away. I'm sorry that they're in our country. I'm never going to eat with them. I'm not going to touch with them. We better never intermarry with them. And you know what? It'd just be better to go away. And the only person I hate worse than a Gentile is a Jewish person who accepts a Gentile. They're the worst. They're the behaviors. That's why he hated Samaritans so bad. And he was so convinced he was right about this that he was willing to kill people for this ideology. That's Saul. Fast forward 20 so years later when he's writing the book of Galatians, this is a person who all recognizes that he is now an apostle to the Gentiles. And some of his most beloved friends are Gentiles. He greets them with a holy kiss. He embraces with them. This guy who would have never eaten anything that was not kosher Jewish food tells his followers, eat whatever set before you, including pork and shellfish and all the things that he would have said would make him unclean. Not only does he believe that God is okay with Gentiles coming into the people of God, he now believes that any obstacle that is in the way from people coming to God, including circumcision and kosher eating and separating their families, those obstacles got to be removed, because the message of God is that he wants all people from every nation, all every tongue, every tribe to be included. So how does someone go on a journey from being, I'll just say it, a racist, bigoted, small-minded, hyper-religious, unpleasant person who's willing to kill for his ideas to a person full of inclusion and love and mercy and peace who is willing, listen now, to give his life to include people as part of the family of God? Well, the answer is one word, the gospel. The gospel. The gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ became so real in the apostle's life, so real in Paul's life, that Jesus really lived, he really died, he really rose from the dead, that the apostle Paul put everything in it. He said, it's about Jesus. It's about Christ. I am in Christ. It is no longer me who lives. It is Christ who lives in me. So this is what we see in the apostle Paul. Now, because the apostle Paul is not known by these Galatians people, they haven't heard him, they haven't seen him, they don't know him. They've only heard about him from people who supported him, and now they're hearing about him from these false Judaizers. Now, what made the situation even more difficult, and this is spoken of in the book of Galatians, is that Paul actually had a conflict with the apostle Peter. Because the apostle Peter actually was a backslider. That is to say, the apostle Peter actually, because he got pressure from the Judaizers, actually found himself being hypocritical and eating only with Jews or only with Gentiles, but never together. And Paul, the former, Pharisee, confronted him on it, and you'll read about that in Galatians. And so this part of the book of Galatians is basically the Apostle Paul telling his story, laying down his authority, sharing why he can bring this gospel and the journey that he's been on for God to reveal that he was the one who was supposed to lay this all out in the New Testament, in the expansion of the kingdom of God through the spreading of the gospel. Let's take a look at the text. So freedom in Christ. This is what he says. We're in chapter 1, verse 11. He says, "For I would have you know, brothers, the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel." So the first thing he really wants to understand is that this gospel, this good news, is not something I made up. It's not something I thought up. It's not like a self-help, the Apostle Paul. It is something that was given to him. If you want to read about Paul's story of conversions, you could look it up in the book of Acts. God literally knocked him on his backside to get his attention and then brought him on a journey where so many of the things he was so sure of got torn apart, got deconstructed, got torn down, and God rebuilt his life on the foundation of the gospel. He said, this is not something I came up with. This is not even something I would have chosen. This is something I would have been against. But I want you to know it did not come from me. Look at verse 12. "For I did not receive it from any man, any person, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation through Jesus Christ." Jesus Christ actually appeared to the apostle Paul. Now, Paul was not, as far as we know, part of Jesus's earthly life. He may have never seen him, never ran into him while Jesus was alive on earth, but Jesus revealed to him in visions, and one vision specifically, who he was and what he was all about. But this was a process. It wasn't just like one conversation and wow, Paul got it all. This was a journey. Let's take a look. The journey from Saul to Paul. He says, "For you have heard of my former life in Judaism," that life where he was young and certain and religious and so confident in his ideals that he was willing to kill for them. He says, "You've heard about that, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it." He said, "The very thing that I'm giving my life for, I wanted to just wipe it out." How is that kind of transformation possible? The gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ changes people. Look at verse 14. And I was advancing in Judaism. He says, I'm really good at it. People were saying, man, this is a wonder kind. This kid, he's going to go further than anyone else. He is all in, beyond many of my own age among my people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my father. Hey, listen, just because someone's passionate or zealous or very loud or very articulate doesn't mean they're on the right track. And sometimes the people who are the loudest and the proudest and make the most noise are actually the people who are being torn up with inner doubts and inner dissonance. One of the things I've learned to do is to learn to listen to that inner dissonance, and God does some amazing things through it. Now look at verse 15. He says, but when he who had set me apart, his understanding was God had called him, God had set him apart for a special purpose to be the apostle to the Gentiles. The other apostles primarily went to the Jewish community. Paul's specific calling, he says, I was an apostle as one untimely or abnormally born or born in a strange way. He says, I was the one who was called to go to the Gentiles. He said, he had set me apart before I was born, who called me by his grace. Now remember what grace is? Unmerited favor, supernatural power. He said, God didn't call me because I was the best or the best behaved. He called me because of his mercy, and I do everything I do by his grace because I'm in Christ. So he says, he called me by grace and was pleased to reveal his son to me. And so what did he reveal? Jesus Christ. And what he started to understand is that everything in the Old Testament that he'd put his hope and trust in was actually really leading to Jesus. He saw the fulfillment of everything he was so passionate in is not in the nation of Israel, is not in his Jewish faith, but was in the revelation of the person of Jesus Christ. God revealed his son to him in order that, for the purpose of, I might preach him among the Gentiles. Now, who are the Gentiles? The Gentiles are the non-Jews. The very person who Paul would have said, I'll never eat with them, I'll never touch with them, I'll never intermarry with them. They're not welcome in the people of God unless they're willing to throw out everything else and get circumcised, follow our rules. Basically, they have to become exactly like me or they can't be included. He said, now God, because God has an incredible sense of humor, has actually been me the person he sent to the Gentiles. He said, I did not immediately consult with anyone. He said, now this is important. When this first happened, I didn't run and I didn't get everybody's opinion about it. Look what it says. It says, nor did I go up to Jerusalem, to those who were apostles before me. He said, so I didn't go check this out with Peter, James, and John right away. I just let God speak to me. But I went away into Arabia. And he was in Arabia, some people think, for 2 to 3 years. So he basically went, and I'm sure it was just a deal where he went with his Old Testament scrolls, and he started to study, and he started to think. And listen, if you've ever been in that kind of process, listen, where God is tearing some things down to build them up, where he's deconstructing some of our small, narrow, petty thinking that maybe we were raised with that's never been critically challenged, and he's rebuilding something that actually is more in line with reality and the heart of God and the way things actually are, that is a painful, scary, unsettling process. And so he went away into Arabia to study deep, to get real with what the scriptures were actually saying about the coming of the Messiah. And he said, I returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, look at this, 3 years, I went to Jerusalem to visit Peter, Cephas, and remain with him for 15 days. And so I went to Peter and said, let me break this down. You with Jesus? Let me talk to you about what I've discovered. See if I'm going kind of crazy. And look what it said. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. In what I am writing to you before God, I do not tell a lie. He says, I hung out with these guys. I shared with these guys. I shared all this. I got other people to confirm that this indeed was the gospel. And that's one of the things that's really important, is that when we're discovering new things, we find safe people who we can process with. That's exactly what Paul did. Look what he says. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Sicilia, and I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. And so he said, then I went into different regions. We started churches. We did all these kinds of things. But the people in Judea really didn't know me. They didn't know me as well. but they remembered some things about me. Look what it says. They only were hearing it said. And so again, the Apostle Paul is writing this because people are saying things about him. They're tearing him down. He says, they were hearing it said, he who used to be persecuting us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God because of me. And so when people started hearing about the testimony of Paul and said, how do you take someone like Paul, who is willing to kill for his ideas, to be so radically transformed by the love of God, the gospel, that now he's willing to give up his own life for these ideas? The only thing that does that is Jesus Christ in a person's life in powerful ways. He said, when people heard about me, they glorified God. So what Paul is doing for the Galatians is he's introducing himself. He's laying out his resume. He's showing why he can proclaim this gospel. He's creating credibility, and he's answering the accusation of these false teachers who are creating so much problem in the region of Galatia. And so here's what I want to ask you this weekend. Is where are you on your journey? Now, what I'm going to encourage you to do is take some time to read the rest of chapter 1 and chapter 2, and you're going to find that Paul says more about his journey. He's going to say, for 14 years I labored among the churches. So when I brought this gospel out and I preached it in the churches, it had power. It transformed people, and this incredible movement that you are part of began among this church called Antioch, and I was part of that. I established that. I established the first churches. We saw the Holy Spirit come. We saw lives changed. He's going to go on and say, it's been 14 years. He said, after that, when the Gentiles started coming in, we had this big meeting up in Jerusalem called the Council of Jerusalem, and we're going to study this church when we study the book of Acts. I cannot wait this fall to study the book of Acts with you, just because it's going to blow your mind, the power of the gospel to change everything. We desperately, as a church, as a culture, need to return to the gospel, the true, simple, unmixed gospel of Jesus Christ that changes everything, okay? And so he says, we had this big meeting called the Council of Jerusalem, and basically that meeting was about, what are we going to do with these Gentiles? Do we need to make them Jewish before they're Christians? Do they get baptized? Do they need to eat kosher? Do they need to follow the Old Testament rules? Do they need to make sacrifices? And basically at the Council of Jerusalem, they're going to say, yeah, they don't need to do any of that because Jesus is enough. We're going to see that. But he mentions all of that in the book of Galatia. Then he actually mentions his conflict with Peter. He actually talks about the time when Peter came to Antioch, that Gentile city. He got followed there by some Judaizers who were quoting the Old Testament with him about circumcision and kosher food. And even though, we're going to see this in the book of Acts, even though Peter knew better, he backslid. And so because Peter, a leader, was publicly doing this hypocritical, sinful thing, Paul corrected him publicly because the gospel was at stake. And we're going to see the apostle said, even when Peter showed up, and he got kind of sideways on this, and let's have a little mercy on Peter because he grew up his whole life hearing this whole story about Gentiles and what not to touch and what not to eat and rules to follow. And Peter's whole life, it seems like he struggled this. We're going to see this in the book of Acts. I can't wait to show you this fall. But Paul just had this crystal clear that it's just Jesus. It's just Jesus, and the message is for everyone. We're going to see in a couple weeks that's male and female, Greek and Gentile, servant and master and slave. Everybody is included, all ethnics, all races, that God's vision is to have people from every tongue and tribe and language worshiping him as the people of God. And that so grabbed the Apostle Paul that he just couldn't let Peter get away with that, and you're going to read that. So as you're reading this next chapter in the book of Galatia, go back and read it. And with this background, I think it has potential to open up your eyes in ways you never saw before. And then ask yourself, where are you on your journey? Let me ask you this question. Have you ever been through a process where God challenged something that you were absolutely certain about, and you started realizing, wow, that's not who God is, that's not what the Bible teaches, that's not in line with the way the world is? Now, some people think when that happened, that's a crisis of faith and you just deny that. It's called dissonance because you're holding beliefs that you're not able to hold anymore. What I want to actually suggest to you is that's part of the natural process of growing. Remember years ago, I was at a conference and there was a speaker speaking and I really didn't like him because honestly, it was a Baptist conference, and he was one of these old Baptists, and he said something that I remember hearing it, and the moment I heard it, he said it, I just knew it was wrong. I didn't know why I was wrong there, but I just knew my heart was wrong. And he said this, an older guy, he said, "I want you to know, in terms of my theology, in terms of what I understand about God, I believe the exact same things I believed when I was 18 years old." And I thought about that, and over the years I've thought about that, and I thought to myself, wow, the chances of me getting all my theology, everything right about God at 18 seems crazy to me. That God is too big for that. Theology is too complex for that. The world is too nuanced for that. And for us to think that real, true faith is certainty rather than faith, because certainty is not faith. You don't need faith when you have certainty, is a complete misunderstanding. Paul went through a process where some things that he grew up with, some things that he were challenged with, were being deconstructed. You know, I hope and I think there's a lot of that going on in our culture right now. Some of us are being challenged on questions of race in ways we never have before, and it's an uncomfortable, it's a difficult process. I encourage you to go through that process. Some of us are being questioned on questions of the gospel and who God wants to include with the gospel. And does God, you know, want people to be, I don't know, Republican enough or Democrat enough? Or does God want them to be moral enough before we can include them in the family of God? When we understand the radical nature of inclusion and how the gospel changes everything and how the gospel is at the center of the social ills that we are facing right now, then we need to be willing to go through a journey where we're being transformed from what we used to be to what we are going to become. The Bible actually has a word for that. It's called sanctification. It's called becoming like Christ. It's the old going and the new coming. It's the renewing of the mind. The Bible talks about repentance, which is a changing of mind, which leads to a changing of thinking. And this is not a pleasant process. This is not an uncomfortable process. And if you've just been at this place just saying, "I don't want to think about any of that," I want to encourage you to do better than that. Go through the process of looking at the Word of God again and begin with Galatians. And when you understand how amazing it was and how radical it was, particularly during his time and particularly who it was, the message of inclusion that the Apostle Paul was giving, it should absolutely blow your mind. And maybe you'll read Galatians in a way you never have before, when you realize, again, this guy who was just a racist, small-minded, bigoted, religious extremist who was willing to kill for his ideology, how he became the messenger of inclusion and love, and how he was willing to give his life for it, man, it helps you see the power of the gospel and the hope we have in Jesus Christ. Let me give you a couple next steps for this weekend. One is just journey well. Journey well. Understand that growth is a process of tearing down and building up. Tearing down what we're certain of, only to have it to be rebuilt in something we have faith in, something we're confident in. It's a very cool process, and it's something the Holy Spirit is doing in you. A couple other things I want to let you know about. One, we're going to get together again soon in large group. So July 19th, we have an outdoor service. It's going to be Sunday. We do ask you to go to the website and RSVP. We need to know who's going to be here, and we just need to be able to plan for it. We're going to have all kinds of social distancing safety in place, but it's time for us to start gathering up, and this is going to be our first opportunity to do it with an outdoor service, and I just cannot wait to see the people of God. You'll need to bring your own chair, bring some water, and we're going to have a wonderful worship service in the field behind the church. I also want to let you know that you should save the date, because August 16th, that is the Sunday where we start meeting back on campus for large group. Now remember, the church never closed because we got small groups, we got one-on-one mentoring, we got online church, we got all kinds of resources. Our youth group is meeting, our children's ministry is meeting, and we're just haven't been meeting in large groups. Well, this is the date where we're going to start meeting again as a church. So make sure August 16th, you save that date, and we'll give you more information about that as we get closer. Also want to let you know one serve opportunity. That is to say that there are several people who are are homeless, who have been diagnosed with COVID, who have been put up in a secure location in some hotels in our area, and the health department, who is overwhelmed with all the needs in our community right now, has asked our church to be the people who prepare some meals go to a location, pack some meals, and then just drop them off at the door so that they can be picked up in a safe way. And this has become a huge blessing to our community and to our health department and the leaders of our community. We're still looking for some volunteers. You can go to our website and click on the I Want to Help and be part of just being the hands and feet of Jesus. Again, not because you're trying to earn God's love or earn God's forgiveness, but because you're being transformed by it. That's a really important point. The gospel is not saying faith in Jesus and do good works. What it's actually saying, faith in Jesus that so transforms us that good works is the result of what we're doing. Not the requirement for salvation, the result that we've been saved. And so this is an opportunity for us to just serve joyfully in Christ's name. There's so much good going on, church. Take some time, dive into the book of Galatians, and have a great weekend. Happy 4th of July.